Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. We'll just remain standing. I'm going to pray real fast. And thank God for his anointing. Amen. Father God, we love, thank you, and praise you this morning. We magnify your holy name, Father. And Father God, I thank you for the mantle, the anointing that you placed on my life for the pastor's office. And Father God, we call it forth this morning right now in the name of Jesus, and we put a demand on that office. And Father God, I thank you to bring forth out of me this morning everything that you would not only have for this congregation, but also for myself, Father God. I thank you that our lives will be forever changed from this moment forward. And everyone that agreed with it said amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. Whoops, definitely good to see everybody out here this morning, almost said evening. We're not in the evening yet. Amen. Still is water. I don't know how many of y'all was able to go out with us last week, but we went out to Ken Fulbark Park. We had a great time. We had over 6,000 Easter eggs. The kids got so many eggs, they stopped getting the eggs. I'm serious. They really did. And so we walked around the park and found a bunch of people that had a bunch of kids. And so they came over there and got to get Easter eggs for their kids. It was great. It really was. It was awesome. And that's overflow.
Amen.
And then we obviously had a grown-up Easter egg hunt. That's just how it happens. And it was fun. It was never seen some of y'all move that fast. Let's be honest. As soon as we said we got money and things in it, everybody was just gone. I don't know how many of y'all ever noticed or not, but I really just, Earl didn't touch me. You know, he talked about it the whole time. I'm going to beat you. Nowhere near me. No, just, he was back there. I think he was napping. I was actually about to draw a line around him and make sure he is still alive. He is moving so slow. I'm joking, but it was a great time. It was a great time. We're actually going to do another family day. We're going to do one July 4th, right? But we're going to also do one in the middle of June as well, because it's summertime. It's not winter, so we can go play at the park. Yeah. Amen. And we're going to try to get together a, what's that called? Slip and slide kickball.
Yes.
How fun would that be?
Yes.
Right? That's got your name written all over it, Earl. I can see you. You're like, yes. You had me at slip and slide. So it'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll get the date nailed down in the middle of June when we're going to do that and let y'all know. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And if none of y'all know the kids leaders right here, Clint and Heather, please stand. Thank you. Y'all got any questions? Y'all got any questions or concerns about your kids? Go to them. They probably did it. All right. Y'all can be seated. And then obviously the youth leaders, Miss Brittany's right here. Brother Richard in the back in the sound. Go ahead, stand up, please. Thank you. Thank y'all. And then y'all, everybody give yourself a hand. Amen. Because let's be honest, me and Pastor Chelsea couldn't do all this by ourselves. We could, but I'd be beat up. I'd come up in here with one sock on, one sock off, probably wrong matching shoes. If I had hair, it'd be wild. But we thank y'all, for reals. We really do. We truly thank each and every one of y'all for helping us. We do. Because especially with the at Ken Fulbark Park, we were really able to bless a bunch of families. Because y'all should have seen their faces. They was out there taking pictures of their babies, getting Easter eggs and everything. It was. I loved it. It was amazing. But that we're blessed to be a blessing. That's what it's about, right? Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We're going to talk about a few things, I believe. Something in here you can take home if you like. Extravagant believing. Believing extravagantly. Don't think small. However, you know, a few different deals we've been going over. What'd I say? Did I mess it up? Whatever. Y'all are bad to be on the front row. No, I'm joking. Amen. We'll get started. Amen. Go over to Psalm 77, please. Psalm 77. We'll start about verse 14. Do you have the message, please, ma'am? I know I should have told you, and I forgot. I apologize. Psalm 77, verse 14, Amplified Message. Oh, you have it. You could have said something. Thanks. Oh God, your way is holy. No God is great like who?
God.
You're the God who makes things happen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You showed everyone what you can what?
Do.
You pulled your people out of the worst kind of trouble, rescued the children of Jacob and Joseph.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
sir. Amen. Next verse, please. Yeah, I like that one. Ocean. It says, ocean saw you in action.
Amen.
Amen. God saw you and trembled with fear. No, God saw you and trembled with fear. Deep ocean was scared to death. Clouds bleached buckets of rain. Belched buckets of rain. Sky exploded with thunder. Your arrows flashing this way and that. From whirlwind came your thundering voice. Amen.
Amen.
But the verse 14 there, it says that thou art God, thou doest wonders. In the King James, it says you do wonders. God is a wonder-working God, correct?
Amen.
Amen. He does wonders. And thou hast declared thy strength among thy people. Amen. Go over to Daniel 6:27 real fast, please. Daniel 6:27. Amen. Daniel 6:27 says, he delivered and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? Correct?
Amen.
He delivered and rescued, and he worked signs and what?
Wonders.
Where at?
In heaven and on earth.
Don't just get stuck in heaven. It says on earth. Where are we at?
On earth.
All right, good. Go over to Psalms 40 real fast, please. Psalms 40, verse 5. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
It says, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful what?
Works.
Which thou what?
Have done.
And thy thoughts which are what?
Toward us.
Amen. Where's God's thoughts toward?
Us.
Okay. All right. Amen. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. Amen. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than they can be numbered. Amen. God has got us on his mind. Correct?
Amen.
Amen. I agree. Go over to James 4 real fast. James 4 about verse 2. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Amen. James 4, 2, it says, at the you lust and you have and have not killed it and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight the war, yet you have not. Why? So why don't we have?
Amen.
So why don't we have?
Because we don't ask.
Okay. Go over to Isaiah 55:8. Making y'all turn a lot. It's good for you. Exercise them finger muscles.
Amen.
Isaiah 55:8.
Amen.
Amen. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Amen. And God says, for my what?
Thoughts.
Are what?
Not your thoughts.
Nor your ways what?
My ways.
Says the Lord. Correct?
Amen.
go over to 1 Corinthians real fast, please. 1 Corinthians 2. We'll get slowed down here in a minute. Hopefully, believe God with me. It was a joke. Some of y'all should have laughed. It'll be all right. We'll laugh about it later. 1 Corinthians 2:16. Some of y'all need to loosen up, okay? All right. Laugh a little. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who, say amen when you get there, sorry. Everybody there? All right. It says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But what?
We have the mind of Christ.
Yeah, good call. Go back, hold that place, and just go to Isaiah 55. Well, just pull it up for me, please. Isaiah 55, 8. Isaiah 55, 8 says, for my thoughts are what?
Not your thoughts.
Nor my ways, your ways. Correct?
Amen.
But now, over here in 1 Corinthians, in the new covenant,
yes, sir.
What does it say in your Bible? But we have what?
The mind of Christ.
See, before we couldn't think like God. But now. Now he says, but we have the mind of Christ. God, you gave us the ability to think big just like you. You gave us the ability to dream big just like you. See, we don't have to if we don't want to, but we can if we choose to. But God said, look, my thoughts aren't yours in the old covenant, but new covenant, he says, look, you have the mind of Christ. You can think just like me. You can believe just like me, and you can speak just like me. Because number one, you was made in my image. And what I did, you can do on this earth as well. Right? So we can think big. We can look big. We can act big. Ever since I was smaller, my mama, whenever I got to be a teenager, a little bit older, I think I was actually in the Army when she told me. She said, you've always had expensive taste. I've always liked nice things. Always. Ever since I was a little kid. Always. Why? Because, number one, if I'm made in the image of God, and He created this whole earth for me to enjoy, to... Look, a lot of us need to search that word out and study that for at least 6 months, what enjoy means. Because this on earth does not mean enjoy. What's wrong? Well, I don't know if we're going to eat this month. All my kids are sick. Husband's going crazy. Car blew a tire. And I almost hit somebody. That is not enjoying life at all. None. But for a Christian, somebody that, well, we'll say it this way, for somebody that says they're a Christian, you know, that can talk Christian, well, Christianese anyways, they talk it. They don't know how to live it, but they can talk it. See, a Christian walks just like this every single day. Why are you smiling? I heard your house just burned. I know. But thank God it don't matter. Because either I'm going to get a bigger one or I'll just rebuild this one bigger.
Amen.
See, a negative person, somebody that doesn't know how to enjoy life, will always see the negative in every single thing that happens. Yes. That's why I don't even like to talk to some people or tell them something. Tell them, hey, I got a boat. Yeah, but you know, those motors, those go out really fast. Why am I even talking to you? I forgot. I actually forgot why I didn't talk to you, but you just reminded me. Thanks. Yeah, but you know, boats, that's just money on the water. So, I thought God made this life for me to enjoy. If I don't enjoy it, then what's the point of me even staying? If I'm just going to go through life barely making it, just dragging one leg thinking, please God, help me. What is the point in that? No, I'm being serious now. What is the point in that? If God created this earth for me to enjoy, I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy it. I promise you that. Amen.
Amen.
And so we have the mind of Christ. God gave us the ability to think higher, to think like He thinks. To think like He thinks. Well, how does God think? See, I wonder about, you know, the Israelites, whenever they went up to the Red Sea, they thought, God thought that once they got to the Red Sea, that was it. They have to go back. See, they thought God thought like that. They thought that God didn't realize that there was obstacles in front of them. So when they got to the obstacle, they was like, well, I guess God didn't know that that was there. I guess we better go back and be slaves more. Probably, a lot of us probably about to die. Y'all ready? See, nowhere near was they thinking like God. Because God saw the Red Sea and seen an opportunity. Some of y'all get that on the way home. But God saw the Red Sea and saw an opportunity. See, God's... Amen. All right. God saw an opportunity. What did Paul and Silas see whenever they got beat? They were thrown in the dell. In the dell? I don't know what that is. It's kind of like a dungeon. And a jail at the same time, a dell. You're welcome. You can write that in your dictionary. I'm just going to create words for y'all today. We're having fun. So they were thrown in jail. Okay, I don't know if y'all know, but I was listening to a minister and he studied it out. They had, 2 or 3 months? 3 months. Once you got thrown in this jail, 3 months. That was the life expectancy that you had. Once you was thrown in this jail, that was it. You're thrown in there, 3 months later, you're dead. You ain't going to make it past 3 months. Yes. Paul and Silas was beat. Okay, I don't know if y'all ever seen somebody beat. But they were probably beat with whips, fists, kicking, rocks, everything. So their bodies got open wounds all over them. And underneath, in this jail, it's underneath the what's that thing called? Castle. I don't know what that is, right? I've been talking to you too much because he talks with his hands. That was funny. And moving along. Amen. A jail, but a sewer goes right in the middle. Amen. I have too much fun. That's just not too much. I have a lot of fun. Amen. But there's a sewer that runs through there. And so if you get around sewer and you have open wounds, what happens? Man, yeah, that'll cause you to die real quick. But they were thrown in jail, and a lot of people that was thrown in the same jail seen death and no way out, and this is the last point. Paul and Silas seen an opportunity, though. See, a true Christian will see an opportunity in anything negative. A true Christian that actually believes the Word of God sees an opportunity in everything, regardless of what the circumstance looks like. Because, see, the circumstance told them, you're dead. This is, you only got 3 months. You will not be able to see your family no more. Nobody likes you. You're by yourself. This is it. You're dying. But they said, you know what? We're going to praise God. We're going to praise God in this situation. Regardless of what it looks like right now, we're going to praise God. And what happened? Anybody read the Bible? Besides me? Y'all looked at me. I said, what happened? Y'all was like, I don't know what happened. Please tell me. What happened? Y'all remember what happened? The shackles fell off.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, not just them, but everyone. So, see, in a situation where somebody else saw negativity and death, somebody else saw opportunity to praise God. And praising God got them out of that situation. Not only got them out, but everybody else that was around them.
Yes, sir.
Right. Right? Amen. I agree. What time did we start? Is that fast? I think it is. We're going to assume it's fast. All right. Anybody agree?
Yes.
All right. Amen. I agree too. So Romans 12. Let's go over there, please. So God gave us the ability to think higher. Can I tell a story about you, Brother Clint?
Yes.
Thank you. So whenever me and him was in a car and we was going up to Vegas, you tell the story. You'll do it. Tell it better. Because I've done forgotten it just then.
Is this when I'm small-minded?
Yes, that's the one. Sorry.
So Pastor Ricky and I were headed up to Las Vegas. Was that for fish? Or?
I think so, yeah.
We were going up to get fish. So we're driving down the road and we're talking about all the things that we want, and got on the subject of houses. Now, I always thought that a quaint little house, something small and nice, would be perfectly fine with me. I'd be happy with that. Everything's cool. And I said, 'cause man, there's not a lot to clean. It's fine. And he looked over right before I threw him out onto the freeway. And he said, that's because you're small-minded. And so I was mad first because I got offended because I'm big brain Clinton. I don't know if y'all know this, but I'm super smart. But I talk too good about myself sometimes. No, I don't. I am super smart.
Yeah, you are.
So he said I'm small-minded, and he caught himself. Pastor Ricky's pretty good at that. About 4 minutes after calling you something, he'll say sorry. But he was right. I never thought that I wanted a big house. Then I went and looked at big houses, and I wouldn't mind a big house. It'd be cool, you know. Sad thing is now I don't want fish tanks anymore. So, but that's what it was. And then I wrote him a letter, I guess, thanked him for helping me open my mind up to believe in God for bigger things.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever me and Clinton first met, he told me, "I'll never own a brand new vehicle." Those were the words out of his mouth. "I'll never own a brand new vehicle." Well, he's got two of them right now.
Yes, I do.
Amen. See, it's a different mindset than the world. It's a different mindset. See, the world says, I just want something just kind of small, you know, the tiny house mentality. And look, if you want a tiny house, that's fine. I'm not saying nothing against the tiny houses. I want y'all to understand that. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. I'm just saying we shouldn't. If we're going to run around with God, then how God operates is going to rub off on us. It truly is. And it's going to get us out of this little mindset, and it'll start opening up a lot more. Well, I'm on a fixed income. Well, nobody fixed your income but you.
Amen.
I seen a couple ladies now that have Social Security but started believing God. They both got brand new vehicles. They both got brand new got houses, both of them.
Amen.
And they had no idea how any of this was going to happen.
Amen.
But they started believing God and started sowing seed and just standing on the word of God, saying, "Thank you, God."
Yes,
and staying after it. See, a lot of people get distracted or get frustrated with it, but if you stay after it, you'll see it come into fruition.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
Because we got to run around with God, right? Think like God thinks. And I want y'all to—I really want y'all to know I'm not talking against small houses. Say amen.
Amen.
I promise you. Okay? I'm just saying, think big. Think big. Well, it's hard. Well, you know, get out there. There's this, we'll move on. Time's running wide open. Time hasn't stopped yet. Amen. All right, first, we're at that. Romans 12:2, sorry. Let's go to Romans 12:2, please. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, we're doing fine. Yeah, we'll be fine.
Amen.
Amen. Romans 12:2, it says, "And be not what?
Conformed.
To what?
To this world.
But be ye transformed by what?
Renewing of your mind.
That you may prove what is the good and acceptable and what?
Perfect will of God."
Amen. And be not what?
Conformed.
Yep. Conformed, that's an interesting word. I wrote it down. It means to be similar or adapt to the ideas of the world. I'm going to read that for you people in the back. Amen. It says to be similar. Conform means to be similar or adapt to the ideas of the world. Y'all know who T.D. Jakes is?
Yes, sir.
I was listening. He had a testimony from it was a kid in his church that was 16 years old. Say 16 years old.
16
years old. A 16-year-old kid. You're 16. Stand up, please. 16-year-old kid. Fast. There. 16-year-old. Thank you. Still in high school. Now that I embarrassed you. 16-year-old kid.
Yes, sir.
Y'all need to understand that. 16 years old.
Yes, sir.
He sowed a seed because he was believing God for a house.
Yes, sir.
And so they were doing a video for the church. And so he had all the kids sitting on like the church steps. And he was just asking them, you know, what do you believe in God for? Or what do you want, you know? And he got to this kid. He said, what do you want? He said, I already got it. He said, you already got it. He said, yeah. Well, what'd you get? He said, I got my house. He said, you got a house? He said, yeah. I've planted seed and I've been believing God for a house. And I got the title deed to it.
Yes.
16 years old. See, so for any of us to think that either we're too young or too old to do anything that the Word of God says, if y'all missed the message on Wednesday, you should probably get the CD and listen to it, because Pastor Chelsea talked about Jacob. He said, look, I was 40 years old whenever we were supposed to go in, but we've been held back because of all you negative naysayers. But now, he said, I'm 80 years old now. Give me that mountain. At 80 years old, went and fought and took over a kingdom, a castle. It's not a little house with wooden sticks and frames around it. This is a castle. And he said, give that to me. That belongs to me. God promised that to me a long time ago. And now I can go get it. And so he went and got it, right? Amen. But this 16-year-old, so then T.D. Jake said, well, what are you going to do with the house? He said, well, I gave it to my mom. He said, well, what are you going to do now? He said, now I'm believing for a mansion.
Amen.
A 16-year-old kid. We need to realize that. A 16-year-old kid.
Amen.
How old was David when he beat Goliath? I don't know. He's a kid, though. Amen. To be conformed means to be similar or adapt to the ideas of the world. Well, you're too young. You can't. How are you going to pay for it? You're in school. You can't own a house. Who said you can own a house? You're crazy. Who you been talking to? Who said you can drive this brand new vehicle? That's not yours. Get those silly ideas out of your head. Amen. Conform means to be similar or adapt to the ideas of the world. Amen. To have in accordance or to behave in accordance to or in agreement with how the world behaves.
Yes, sir.
So conform means to behave in accordance to or in agreement with how the world behaves. Amen. There's this other minister. His son was wanting to. He said, Dad, this year for vacation, I want to go to Hawaii. He said, well, you better start believing God for your own ticket then.
Amen.
Which is a good deal. Because just to say, well, I'll buy it, isn't doing nothing for the kid.
Yes.
But teaching the kid to use his faith and operate in it will just change his entire life. And so that his son got a seed and sowed it. And said, all right, I'm believing for a ticket. And about a month or so later, he came up to his dad. He said, He said, I got a ticket for halfway there. Or he said, I got a ticket for all the way there and halfway back. But a little kid, and he was like 12 at the time, I think he's saying.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Understanding the law of seeing of seeds and sowing. Not only that, but not limiting God to what we think is possible. To what we think we can do.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Y'all okay?
Yes, sir. All right.
In the Phillips, I'm going to read it to you out of the Phillips real fast. Are y'all cold or y'all good?
Very warm.
They're turning off the fans. Why would you do that? I'm sweating. Okay. We're going to have to adapt then. Are you for real that cold? The fans? We're going to have to get an industrial fan in here. Phillips, that's where we're going. Stop distracting me. So the Phillips in Romans 2. Actually, I just wrote it down. I'll read it to you. Out of the Phillips, it says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. That's what the Phillips translation says in Romans 12:2. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into the world's, into its mold. Amen? Let me turn over there. I'm going to read it to you out of the message real fast. Can you pull up the message for me, please? Thank you, ma'am. Huh, right. Romans 12:2 message, it says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take every day, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Amen. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. That's so, so important. Because is the Christian, is a Christian person supposed to look and act just like everybody else? Are we supposed to be so different that it makes them question their life and brings them over into the life with God? Amen. Am I correct, or are we believing the same? So then if we're having the same exact, well, we might have the same exact problems as them, as the world does. But are we reacting just like them? I don't know what we're going to do now.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Amen. I'm going to read it to you out of the Passion too. It says, stop imitating the ideas and opinions of the culture around you.
Amen.
Amen. Are y'all awake?
Yes.
Y'all good? Okay. Amen. It says, stop imitating the ideas and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation. Of how you think. Of how what? So are we supposed to think like everybody else?
No, sir.
It's a great idea to have a vision board in your house. Because that'll make you start stretching out to where you never even thought you would stretch out before.
Amen.
I mean, put some of the most craziest things you could think of up on your vision board. Stretch yourself.
Yes, sir.
Don't be conformed and think bigger. Don't be conformed to the world and allow the world to tell you what you can do.
Yes,
or what you can't do. Or you're too young. Or you're too old. Or you don't have enough of this. Or you better get more credit. Or you don't drive this nice enough. You don't live here.
Yes, sir. Amen.
What? First, growing up, a long time ago, I stopped caring what people thought about me. I truly did. Because their opinion about me is not going to change my life one bit. Because I'm still going to go forward with God, do what God asked me to do, regardless if you think I'm crazy or not.
Yes, sir.
Because what you're thinking isn't going to help me none.
That's true.
No. You're right.
Say amen. What the other person's thinking is not going to change your life or help you with God. Your walk with God is going to help you with God and your walk with God, correct?
Yes.
Amen. We're not to copy the actions, behaviors, the patterns, or the thought life of the world. Because if we're due, we're going to limit God and ourselves.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Don't become fashioned after the world, neither in judgment or beliefs, but don't become fashioned after them.
Yes.
Amen. If we stand beside somebody in the world, somebody should be able to definitely tell the difference between my life and their life.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. All right, moving along. Don't live. Don't live like everyone else. Amen. I couldn't read my writing there for a minute. I was like, what did I spell? Layla. I was like, why does that spell Layla? Digressed again, huh? There we go. All right, rest. Resist conforming to the world and its systems every day.
Yes, sir.
Resist conforming to the world and its systems. See, the world has systems.
Yes.
God has systems as well. God's are better.
Yeah.
If we do, if we don't, then we will live with the same limitations as the world has.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Where are we at? Oh, we're doing great. Man, yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. So don't stop imitating the ideas and opinions of the culture around you. I'm reading the Passion. Okay. Thank you. But be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation, whatever the word is, of how you think.
Yes.
Of how you think.
Yes.
Amen. Of how you think. Are y'all all right?
Yes.
Okay. Smile or do something every now and again. That way I know you're alive. let's go over to 1 Corinthians 10, please. I'm going to go to 29. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Any of y'all getting anything out of this?
Amen.
I'm going to read it to you out of the Message. Amen. I love this. It says, but except for these special cases, I'm not going to walk around on eggshells worrying about what small-minded people, what?
Might say.
Amen.
What small-minded people might say. Well, do you really need that much house? Well, do you really need another vehicle? You really need more clothes?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Man. There. I lost it for a minute. Don't walk around. On eggshells, worrying about what small-minded people might say. I'm going to stride free and easy, knowing what our large-minded master has already what?
Amen.
Said. It's already said. So we shouldn't be worrying about everybody else, all the small-minded people.
Amen.
We shouldn't worry about small-mindedness. We should run free and easy with a large-minded God. Because if God thinks big, then we can think big.
Yes.
Amen. We should think like God thinks.
Amen.
We really should.
Amen.
Amen. Go over to Psalm 78 real fast, please. Psalm 78, we'll start in here in a minute. We'll start, I'll read verse 6 first, and then 7, then 11, 13, then 19. Okay, so verse 6, everybody there? Psalm 78?
Yeah.
Amen. Psalm 78, verse 6 says, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in who?
God.
And not what?
Forget the works of God.
Say that again, and forget what?
The works of God.
And don't forget what?
The works of God.
Point to yourself and say, remember everything God's done for you. But keep His commandments. Amen.
Keep His commandments.
And then verse 11, it says, and forgot His works and His what?
Wonders.
That He had showed them. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan, right? And then verse 19, it says, yea, they spake against God. They said, what? Can God. Can God. See, and these are the same people that walked through the Red Sea.
Yes.
The same exact people. Same exact people that had quail that flew in knee deep. Had manna every single day. Except obviously the Sabbath. but had a fire by night to lead them and a cloud during the day for shade.
Yes, sir.
Moses hit the rock with his rod, and what came out?
Water.
And how many people are we talking about?
Millions.
But yet, every time they came up against something,
yeah.
But can God?
Yes, sir.
But can God prepare a table for us in the wilderness? They kept saying, can God? They forgot about everything God did for them so far.
Yes.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
These are the same people that God brought across the Red Sea, right?
Yes.
Amen. Everything they came up to, every time they came up to a new challenge, they would always ask, but can God? But can God get us out of this? Well, how are we going to pay this bill? Well, now the kids are sick. Well, what are we going to do about this? Well, what are we going to do about the food? Well, what are we going to do about clothes? What are we going to do about shoes? Well, what did he do last month? What did God do yesterday?
Yes.
So why are we all of a sudden questioning God like he's not going to do exactly what he did? Amen. Satan hopes that we forget about everything God did for us. See, me and Pastor Chelsea, we rehearse this between each other quite often, everything God's been doing for us. Matter of fact, last night we was going through it. We was just writing it down. Because as like some of y'all know, whenever I first moved here, how long ago was that now? Almost 9 years. Is it 9 years? All right. Wow. So I started making $500 every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. It was me, her, and them three. $500 every 2 weeks. And so we had a house payment. We still needed food. We had vehicles. We need gas. And God just slowly, we didn't stop. That was the deal. We didn't allow ourselves to get comfortable. As soon as we felt like we was getting comfortable, like, whew, we can relax a little bit, we'd push ourselves more. What can we believe God for now? Because why do I want to stop at comfortability? Why? Why? If this earth is created for me and God said I can enjoy it, why not just push for the most extreme thing ever? Why not to continue to go? You know the thought pattern between a millionaire and a regular person is just totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know that?
Yes, sir.
And God said that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, but yet we have the mind of Christ now. And so we shouldn't be thinking like everybody else.
Yes,
well, what are we going to do now? Well, I hope I get healed for this. Well, I hope God will heal me here. Well, God will. He did that over 2,000 years ago. We just got to stay with it and just continue to thank God for it. Don't allow the naysayers like, you know, when you go to the hospital, well, this is incurable. You'll always have this till you die. See, a lot of people grab that and carry that around with them for the rest of their life. And so if they got a limp or something, they got the bag that the doctor said. And so if they're limping or something, they're limping. And then somebody say, what's the matter? Well, you know, I got hurt when I was a kid. And then they'll pull that out of their bag. And the doctor said that I'll die with this. I have to live with it for the rest of my life. And then they'll put it back in their bag and continue on. That was a pretty good analogy. Amen. Thank you, God, for the Holy Ghost. Amen. But Satan hopes that we forget about everything God did for us. And if we don't, you got to rehearse it. Rehearse it with your kids.
Yes.
Amen. And have your kids. Don't always put the kids out of the room whenever you're believing God for stuff. Make them believe God with you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Make them use their faith as well. Don't let them just sit by. Teach them. Amen. Look at 1 Samuel 17 real fast, please. Whenever I was younger, they told me I was dyslexic. that I'd put the middle of the words at the end, the end at the middle, and I just mixed the words all up real bad. And I guess my dad was like that too, I found out later. And so for a long time, that was my scapegoat. Well, I'm dyslexic. I carried that thing around with me for a long time. Until I got tired of it. And then I told it to leave, and it had to. And so now I can read with no problem. Because you should have saw me before. Amen. 1 Samuel 17. See, so whatever they try to tell you whenever you're younger, even growing up or even now, don't allow that to affect you or to hang out with you for the rest of your life. Don't carry that around with you. Don't carry that around with you. Who cares what they said? They're not in charge of you. And they don't control you and they don't run your life. Amen. Anything you need to know about your life is in this Word of God. He said, number one, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll always help you. Whatever you need, just come and ask and I'll always be there. You got any situation, just come say something to me and we'll get through it together. Amen. Where'd we go? That's a good place to go. Let's go to verse 34 real fast. Let's go to verse 32. Amen. Let's go to 31. And when the words were heard, which David what? They rehearsed them before who?
Saul.
And he sent for them, for him, right? And David said to Saul, let no man's heart what? See, these are men that's been fighting their whole life. These are guys that have been trained for war. And now this little kid that's just been out watching sheep, a youth, comes in and tells a king, hey, king, don't worry. I'll protect you. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this what? And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but what?
A youth.
And he a man of war from his what?
Youth.
And David what? Said. And David said. And David said. And David said. He didn't think about it. And he didn't allow Saul to tell him what David was going to do. And that's the problem a lot of times. We allow the world to tell us what we're going to do. Or what we can't do. Or we can't buy this. Or we can't afford that. Or you need this. Or you need a co-signer. We allow them to tell us. David didn't. David said. That means David got up to Saul, said, don't fear. Don't let anybody stop fearing right now. We're about to get through this. Didn't he? He didn't allow Saul to, because he just got done telling him, look, you're a kid. Don't try to do this. You're a kid. You're too young. This guy's been fighting his entire life, and now you're just coming out here. You even got a little bit of snot running down your nose right now, and you're trying to fight this guy that he's been training for this his entire life. And David said, see, David seen an opportunity to show how mighty his God is.
Yes.
See, Saul and them know who God was. They knew God, but they didn't know God.
Amen.
David knows God.
Yes, sir.
David said, your servant used to keep his father's sheep when a lion and a bear did what they do? Out of the flock. Next one, please. I went out after it, struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Go back to 34, please.
Amen.
David said, your servant kept the father's sheep, right? And then he said, what did he do next? He started rehearsing everything God's already done for him. He started rehearsing everything that God's already done for him. The opportunity, the thing trying to stop him is here. What'd he do? He didn't turn around and run off to try to find somebody to help him. He started rehearsing on the inside of him. You know what? A lion and a bear came after me. After my sheep, I killed them. I don't care what's going on. And he said, not only that, since those lion and that bear came after me, now this uncircumcised Philistine that's coming against the armies of God is about to be just like them. I'm going to run out here and I'm going to kill him. Then he started telling Goliath what he's going to do. He said, not only am I going to kill you, I'm going to take out this entire army. All of y'all, nothing's going, the bird and everything else is going to feed on y'all's carcasses. Because today, not tomorrow or next week, but today, God's going to deliver me, you, into my hands. Amen. See, David didn't think small. He didn't think small, and he started rehearsing on the inside of him. Look, a bear and a lion came, and I didn't run off scared and afraid and worried. Did he? Did he? What'd he do? He went after him. Don't allow Satan to steal something from you and you stand there crying. Get your stuff back.
Amen.
Amen. David was rehearsing what God did before with the lion and the bear. Amen?
Amen.
David was using his remembrance of the things God did in the past as a weapon. You need to write that down. David was using his remembrance.
Amen.
David was using his remembrance of what of things God did in the past as a weapon. Amen. Now turn back to Psalms, please, 78, real fast. We'll finish that one. We're almost done. We are almost there. Or you can just pull up Psalm 78 in the Amplified, please, verse 41. Amen. Everybody, y'all ready? Amen. It says, and time and time and time and again they turned back and tempted God, provoking and incensing, the Holy One of Israel, right?
Yes,
King James says, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited.
Yes.
Limited the Holy One of Israel.
Yes.
They limited. How did they limit God? Say verse 19. Verse 19. Because they started going around, can God? Yeah, but can God do this now? Yeah, but now this is a different day and this is a whole nother animal. This isn't the same thing that we went through yesterday. So can God get us through this one now?
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn over real fast, please, to Proverbs 4. Amen. I'm going to read down the Passion real fast. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Say amen when you get there. Amen. It says, so above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Amen. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. Right?
Amen.
I'm going to read it to you out of the Message too. Keep vigilant. Watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Amen. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. Amen. Amen. Go over to real fast, Psalms 5, please. This will be the last one. We'll stop here. Psalms 5, we'll read about verse 11. It says, but let all those that put their trust in thee, what?
Rejoice.
Amen. But let all those that put their trust in thee, what?
Rejoice.
Okay. But let all those who put their trust in thee, what?
Rejoice.
Rejoice. Amen. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Amen.
Amen.
Let all those that trust in me rejoice.
Yes.
Let all those that trust in me rejoice.
Amen.
Let all those that trust in me rejoice.
Yes.
So I wonder, that gave me a thought. So I wonder, if we're not rejoicing, are we not trusting in God then?
No.
Now look, now this one's for real closing. On a serious note. No, we'll stop with that. Amen. Amen. Yeah, we'll stop. Amen. Amen. Any of y'all help this evening? Morning. Whatever time of day it is.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, Father God, we love, thank you, praise you, magnify your holy name. Thank you, Father God, for helping us, for leading us and guiding us in everyday life. And Father God, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, Father God, it will go forth in us. We'll continue to meditate on it, to grow in it, Father God. We won't allow Satan to come and steal it from us. But we'll continue to meditate on it and to just meditate on it day and night, Father God. And we thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody agreed, said amen.
Amen.
Me and Pastor Chelsea.